in the years that I've known our brother Gary, and visiting with him and his background, I found that his background and my background are very similar. Really, we both came out of the world into this gospel. And I've watched my brother grow as he's accepted this gospel and accepted his responsibilities. And he has a true heart. And I appreciate that in my brother. So as we listen to him this morning, I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to that message that he'll have, and that we truly would allow the Lord to implant it in our hearts and our minds, that we'd be able to apply it to our lives. So I give you our brother and our priest, Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Brother Ken. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning. I'd like to greet each and every one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those that are live streaming, thank you for tuning in. We have a brother that was scheduled to preach this morning. He is in need of prayers. He's getting over pneumonia, so he's on the mend. So please remember Brother Glenn Orsted. So I decided to fill in for him this morning. And it's actually a really good thing because today is a very special day for me. Some of you know that this is the day that my wife and I consecrated our marriage, and we have been together for 12 years, and it's been a wonderful 12 years. And I'm probably going to make her blush and a few times and embarrass her, but I promise to take it easy on her. Maybe not. Depends on if she's paying attention or not. So really, it's truly been a wonderful 12 years, and I am truly thankful to be able to be here this day and to come and to preach that what the Lord has had on my heart for the last week as I was preparing to go out and celebrate with my wife and do something special in remembrance of the wonderful years that we have had together. They've been truly wonderful years. It's probably no different than many of yours. You know, there's things that we've shared. There's times that we've had that have been difficult. You know, we've been through our trials and our struggles. We've had issues in our marriage and we've had to deal with. You know, it's truly been a wonderful learning experience and something that has grown and it has been fruitful. And I'm truly blessed by the Lord and everything that he has given me. You know, not only with my wife and the marriage that we've had, but also where it brought me, how I'm here today. You know, the time that she took in her life to be able to get to know me and to care about me and to want to be with me and to help me understand the gospel and to be able to know that, you know, we have something more important than our relationship, and that's God. And having God in our lives and her bringing that to me is something that I could never repay. And I am truly grateful for that. I'm truly grateful for all the wonderful years that the Lord has given to me with her. You know, he has blessed us with kids that are wonderful, and we love them very much. And it's something that words can't even express. It's something that you experience and you don't know how to put it into words. But it's amazing how much the Lord cares for all of his children and gives his children wonderful blessings in life. And you know, some people, they receive things from the Lord and they understand the Lord and they appreciate those things. And that's what I want to do today, is to be able to draw each of us closer to the Lord, to understand that, you know, we have a relationship, we have a marriage, we're together as one. And the same goes for our relationship with the Lord. We have to be close with the Lord. We have to have a line of communication that's open with the Lord to be able to understand that he has wonderful things planned for us in our lives. He has wonderful blessings that he is willing to give us. And if we have those lines of communication open with him, how richly we're rewarded by that. You know, also coming up in September, you know, I started that relationship with the Lord. It'll be 11 years, so it was 1 year prior to when I was married that I was baptized. And I deem that just as an important milestone in my life, just as my marriage, because that's when I walked and I decided to enter into the waters of baptism and to start that covenant with the Lord. And how important that is, just as a marriage. It's a very important thing to be able to understand that when you do something like that, how it changes your life, how you decide to change your life, the wonderful things that the Lord has to bestow upon us is right there at the door. It's right there. All we have to do is enter in. We have to take our lives and examine ourselves and understand that there's so many wonderful blessings that the Lord has in store for us. There's so much strength that He gives us in our lives to be able to endure in this day in which we live. He gives us that capability, those things. There's so many goals that we set within our lives that we can accomplish with the Lord there with us. Sometimes our goals are unachievable. So maybe that's the Lord's plan. I don't know. You know, there's things in my life that I wanted to achieve, you know, that I never even was capable of doing. But, you know, the Lord has a plan. And I think that's my point. The Lord has a plan for us. And as long as we focus and we have that line of communication open with the Lord, we're capable of achieving that those goals that He has for us. You know, as a young man, we talked about debt this morning and our schooling and stuff like that. You know, when I was a young man, I wanted to be a dentist. And, you know, that didn't work out for me. You know, and one of the reasons why I wanted to be a dentist is because, number one, I had really bad teeth. And number two, I knew they made a lot of money. So, you know, that was my mindset to doing that. And, you know, it was something that, now that I look at it, it was something that was, you know, selfish for myself. You know, I was 13, 14 years old thinking that, you know, I can have the world in my hand if I became a dentist. And, you know, that wasn't the Lord's plan in my life. And the direction that He took me, He still has richly blessed me. And it's a blessing every day to know that I can get up and enjoy my life and be able to support my family, enjoy my place of work. You know, it's still work. There's still a lot of stress. There's still a lot of responsibilities and duties I have to do, goals I have to make. But it's a wonderful blessing to know that the Lord still had a plan for me. I was 15 years in my career where I started off. I started right out of high school working for Bill Malone. And, you know, it was a good job. It was something that, you know, I liked to do. But as I got married and I started thinking about things, and, you know, things have changed at the company. There was a change of ownership. You know, I had to re-look at whether or not this was best suited for where I wanted to be when I had children. Was I going to be able to provide? Was I going to be able to support my family? Was I going to be a good provider for my family? And I determined, you know, this is a point in my life where I need to make a change, where I have to really consider, you know, my long-term goal and figure out, you know, is this where I'm at right now gonna be able to provide for me 10 years down the road when I decide to have children, a house, a family? And no, it wasn't. So, you know, I decided at that time in my life that I needed to make a career change. And it was difficult, you know, and I didn't have the means to do it. You know, and as we discussed, I went into debt and took on a student loan. And Aaron, believe it or not, we're still paying for it 12 years later. Yes, yes, it's something that's always going to be there. But, you know, it's something that I've learned as a life experience going through my life. And that's one of the things I wanted to help bring to light today, is for us to be able to have an understanding of those changes in our lives that we make that help us be able to look and see the long-term goal that we have and to be able to accomplish that according to how the Lord wants us to work in our lives. Because when we do that, how richly we're blessed in the things that, in the rewards of life that we get out of it are so wonderful that we can share those with each other. We can feel that peace and that joy that the Lord has for us in our lives. And that's, I was actually going to come up here and be in a somber mode and be kind of in a bad mood because, you know, I'm really full of joy today because I love my wife. And today is a really good day. And the Lord's put this message on my heart so I could share that with everybody. And that's, I think, what the Lord wants us to do, is to have that relationship with Him and to feel that joy and to feel that peace and to be able to share it with everybody, because, you know, it's a wonderful thing, because it's kind of like when you know that the Lord's taking care of you, kind of your worries just kind of fall away. They go away, and you know that with the Lord there, he's going to give you the strength to be able to overcome those difficulties in life that bring you down, that tear you apart, those things that destroy you. And we just have to have that mindset that when we're going through our lives, if we open up those lines of communication with the Lord, he is going to be there for us. He's going to give us that wisdom, that knowledge, those capabilities to make those decisions that we need to make that are going to better our temporal life and our spiritual life. Those are the two things. You know, he's going to be there for that. You know, there's a brother in our ministry that always says, my wife and I, we have more fun on accident than we do on purpose. And, you know, today was a day when I woke up and I was like, I'm going to say that in my sermon this morning. Because it's true. I know we laugh at it, but I actually looked at it from a different perspective this morning. And I know why that is. It's because our brother that says that all the time, he has that joy in his heart. He has that love for his wife. He cares about her so much that he's willing to announce it. And that's the love that the Lord gives to us. Those are the emotions that the Lord gives to us. And for us to express those things, to share those things, I think it's a wonderful thing. I don't think it makes anybody less of a man to come up and get in a crowd of people and to express and proclaim their love, not only for their family and their loved ones, but also for the Lord. It truly is something that the Lord strengthens you in and gives you strength to do. And you receive strength from that. And you're not afraid to do that when you know that the Lord is there with you and giving you that capability of doing that. It's a wonderful thing. And so I'm going to go ahead and get started here. And I didn't put this to paper. It was kind of a short notice, but, you know, it was like all these thoughts were in my mind, and I just was like, okay, let's do it. So I wanted to start tonight in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 30. And it says here, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And that's with our marriage, my wife and I, you know, we're together as one. Everything that I feel, she feels it too. You know, I'm going to air our dirty laundry, Alicia, I'm sorry. But, you know, it's a natural thing in everybody's life that they have difficult times. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, we went through given, you know, as our relationship grew, you know, we would fight. Not like fist fight or anything like that, but, you know, put that down for record. But, you know, we would actually argue, and one of the things that I did, you know, being a younger man, was put up a wall. That's kind of how my dad was, you know, put up the wall, I'm done, I'm checking out. You know, give me the remote, click on the TV, you're not in my view anymore. And, you know, we actually did that a couple times, and I learned from it, and, you know, it's a destructive thing. And I think that, you know, when we have that communication with our loved one, with our loved ones, with the Lord most importantly, how important that is. You know, I look back at those days when we were young in our marriage, and, you know, I thought I was tough and strong and put up that wall, I'm right, you're wrong, you know, leave me alone. It really hurts me to look back and to see that I was like that. That's not how the Lord calls us to be. That's not what the Lord wants from us. Because what I was feeling, she was feeling that. And it's because we were together. And when we opened up those lines of communication, when we started talking about it after 3 days, you know, it was something that, you know, I was ashamed of myself. I had to ask for forgiveness. It was very difficult. And it was something that I had a very difficult time overcoming. But as we grew together, as the years went on, as I learned to be able to talk to my wife and to understand her, that I need to say these things and I need to have her understand how I feel, you know, how much that changed our relationship. You know, now we can kind of put it on the table. Put it on the table. You got an issue, let's talk about it. And it's so much better for us to be able to do that because now the lines of communication are open. We could come to a reasoning, and we can have an understanding of each other and how we are. Because, you know, I don't know who told me this, but somebody told me at one time that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. You know, so for some reason, we're different. I haven't figured that out, but it is true. And being a man, you know, that was one of the things that I had to understand about my wife. And that's why I wanted to relate that to our relationship with God. We have to understand that. We have to have those lines of communication open to be able to understand that. You know, we communicate with him. He'll communicate with us. He'll be able to be there to give us that understanding, to know those things that we need to do. And it's kind of like in a battle. You know, we're in a constant battle today. We're out there. We're in the world. We're in a constant battle. And one of the first things that the enemy will do and try to do is cut off the lines of communication to their enemy in the battle. Because when they do that, what does it do? It creates confusion. It creates deception. There's undermining. There's all those things. It creates paranoia. You think that something's being said and it's not. It creates misunderstanding. And altogether, it's destructive for within that group of people. And that's why us having that open relationship, not only within our families and among our brothers and sisters, but with God, it is so important so we can have, you know, that strength and that reliance on him. He knows that we're putting our faith and our hope in him, and he's going to be there to protect us. And I want to also go, you know, this relates to the whole body. And it says here in verse 30 again, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And with that, I wanted to go to 1 Corinthians. And I wanted to read that so people, all of us have an understanding of that. This is one of my favorite scriptures because of just of where I came from. Like my brother Ken was saying, we came from like lives and developed in a world, grew up in a worldly atmosphere. And this is something I really appreciate and it always sticks with me because I always try to think of everybody as the body, members of one another. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 14 through 27. And it says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in his body as it hath pleased him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and the members are in particular. And that's what the focus I wanted to put on this scripture was that, you know, we're all in it together. We're all part of this overall goal that we're trying to achieve. We're all here for a reason. We're all here to be strengthened. We're all here to be submissive and to be humble and to learn of the ways that the Lord has for us in our lives. And we're trying to grow from that. We're trying to better ourselves. You know, we're worldly at times, and we struggle at times, and we have difficulties. But that's why we come here, because we're not perfect. We're not perfect like Christ. And coming here and understanding the Lord's path for us is something that we do. And that's why we need to come, and we need to be a part of the service and to take that into consideration in our lives, because that helps us understand the overall goal and the plan of salvation that the Lord has for us in our lives. It helps us. And I wanted to use a very familiar example of that. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it real quick. And it's the 10 virgins. And it says here, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. That they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps while the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And that's kind of something that should open up our eyes. You know, are we prepared? Are we prepared for the day that the Lord comes? Are we preparing ourselves? Do we have the oil for our lamps, that light that burns for the Lord? Is that empty? Is it half full? Or is it full? Is it something that we think about on a daily basis? Are we prepared for that day when the Lord returns? If not, we really need to think about those things and those things that we're doing and take the appropriate action to be able to get that oil in the lamp, to be able to fill it up, to be able to be ready, you know, have that. And it's such a reassuring feeling when you know that what you're doing is a focused, thought-out path in your life, where you want to be and how you're going to get there, and you have the steps laid out. And you know where I get that from? I get it from right here. I get that from right here. And it makes my life so much easier to be able to deal with those things in my life that are going to take that oil out of my lamp. You know, it's going to, the things that I see and that I read helps me be able to have a full lamp. It gives me that joy. It gives me that capability of being strong in the difficult times that we live in. And a lot of that, I'm going to be honest with you, it's because I have, in my personal life, open lines of communication with God. You know, at work, you know, there's stressful times. There's things that I need to learn that I don't really understand. And, you know, it's difficult because, you know, in my position, I have to be able to figure it out. I have to be able to figure out what the best method is to be able to accomplish what we're trying to do. It's the overall picture. It's not something that's handed to me and here you go fix it. You know, I got to look at the overall picture and see and figure out what the best way to do that is. And a lot of times, you know, I rely upon the Lord with that because, you know, my demeanor and my actions speaks volumes among the people. Just as I'm up here speaking to each and every one of you, you know, my demeanor and my actions speak volumes. And as I said, you know, when I first came up here, I was going to act all frumpy and not want to be here, but that's just kind of the joking side of me. But really, it's a joy to be able to know that when I rely upon the Lord to give me those things to speak, you know, he fills my heart full of thoughts, and he allows me to express those things and to share those things without a fear of tearing down who I am. You know, it doesn't make me any weaker when I express my emotions as a man. It makes me stronger, and I hope it makes you stronger and help you understand. But all that derives from my communication with God, and to be able to have that line of communication open. And I have here a little footnote, how he helps you with the plan of salvation. You know, and I think I've already expressed that. I think that we understand that, you know, if we take that time, you know, the Lord tells us, go into your closets, pray continuously, think about those things about the Lord. You know, he gives us that choice that we can make in our lives to be able to, you know, shut him out or to let him in. And we need to, you know, put those things in upon our heart that we care about and share those things with the Lord. And in 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. And it says, 1 John chapter 4, 6 through 11. I hear the pages turning, that's why I'll slow down. The Lord has given me the gift of gab today, so once again, thank you, Lord. I'm excited to be here. It says in verse 6, we are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, all of us have a conscience, and a lot of times when we get ourselves in situations that are contrary to what the Lord wants for us in our lives, I know that I feel that I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing. And all of us have that feeling. A lot of people call it our conscience. You know, that could be a part of it, but a lot of times I think that when it leads down to the path of sin, that's the Lord tapping on our shoulder saying, hey there, you know, Gary, this is something that you really shouldn't be doing. So why don't we go ahead and not do it? So, you know, it's a choice in our life that we have to make at that point. And that's the thing, is when we have, you know, the Lord with us and at our side and those lines of communication are open, he helps us be able to understand that and to say, you know, stop. Stop what you're doing. Think about what you're doing. Let's go down the right path. It says in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God. I want to make sure I get that right, so let's start over. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the, I screw this word up every time, propitiation, see, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And that's why I just want to kind of open our minds to, is that one of the things for us to be able to love one another, you know, we need to make sure that we hear one another. You know, when my wife and I, when we used to argue, you know, I heard her, but I wasn't listening. You know, all it was kind of like the school teacher in Charlie Brown, where you hear wah, 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 wah. You know, that's kind of how it was with me when I would hear her, but I wasn't listening to her. And I think that's important as a body, that we take the time. And if we see something, or if somebody kind of approaches us and it kind of strikes a chord to where maybe I should listen, that's the Lord telling us, it's time to listen. It's time, because this brother of yours, this sister of yours needs to talk about something. And taking the time to do that is precious. It helps each other have that support within the body that keeps us tightly knit together. It helps us be able to lift a brother or sister up. It helps us to show our love of Christ that we have for one another. You know, it's very important that we do that so we can continue in our lives to receive edification, not only from each other, but from the Lord. You know, that's being fruitful for the Lord. And with that, I wanted to go to, you know, understanding the two greatest commandments. And that's found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. And it says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the first, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, and that's the thing. We have to show that love for one another. Just like I do my wife, I have to be able to be there to listen to her, to be a part of this marriage. Just like we are a part of the body of Christ. Christ is the Godhead, and we have to know that He is there. He is there to help us make it through this difficult times that we live in. He's there to give us the right path to travel down. He's going to keep our feet in the right direction. You know, He's going to keep us away from all those things that pull us away and destroy us and tear us down. And I'm going to read about those things in Galatians. It's going to be in chapter 5 of Galatians. I'm going to read verses 14 through 26. Okay, so yeah, this falls in tail with Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. So verse 14 starts off, For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye would be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And that's the thing is, my point on this is that you know, when you have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, working with you in your life. You know, these are the things that you acquire. You know, you have that joy, that peace, that gentleness, that goodness, that faith. It's almost like refreshing because all those other things, when it's, you know, things that are in your life that are destructive, that are tearing you down, it's almost like you're just like, you know, I can't deal with this. You know, we get that from time to time. But how much more relaxed, how much more at peace you feel when you're doing those things and you're putting aside all the other things in your life that can tear you down. And to have that joy and that peace, I talk about it time and time again, it's a wonderful thing. It's so refreshing. It's like a cool, refreshing drink. Which leads me to, you know, some people think this here as a cool, refreshing drink. This is something I grew up on in a glass bottle. And man, in the middle of a summer, and hot, you know, when I was a kid, we used to get glass bottles. And boy, what a difference that makes in the way that this tastes. I don't know what it is, too. It's a natural sugar, too. You still get some sort of like that. And I think Home Depot has it. But, you know, I'm not trying to make an advertisement for this company here, but you know, it's kind of like that. It's sweet. It's good. It's refreshing. And that's kind of what I wanted to relate to, you know, with the Lord. You know, it's something that is so good to take in and to enjoy in life. All these things, you know, that the Lord has for us, the fruit of the Spirit. But, you know, this could be something that you know, could be difficult for us too. You know, I got something here. You know, if we were to introduce into our lives, you know, as an example, you know, maybe my brother-in-law will come up and demonstrate this, but I got this candy here. You know, I consider this kind of like sin. It's a candy that, you know, if you were to put this sin into your life right here, Adam, would you want to come up and demonstrate that? Dropping this pack of candy into this coat? Okay. No, we're not going to do that, but I thought that would be kind of humorous. But, you know, if I was to introduce this sin into my life right here, this bottle of soda would just blow up and make a mess. You know, and that's kind of like what sin does in our lives. That's what Satan wants to happen. He wants, you know, this to enter into our lives and just blow everything up and just ruin it. That would ruin this bottle of soda here. And that's kind of something that I had a thought of, and, you know, I thought it would be neat to share how I can kind of use that in correlation with this sermon. So I you know, it doesn't take much to do something like that either. You know, how fast when this goes into this changes everything. And, you know, when we get into sin, how fast that can destroy and be destructive within our own lives, how fast that can just ruin everything and make a mess of it. You know, and it's funny because, you know, it only takes a split second to drop this in here, and you see what happens on YouTube, and boom, it just goes everywhere. You know, the time that it probably would take for my mother-in-law to clean this up in the chapel would be a long time. You know, the floor, the ceiling, the walls, it'll be all over the place. But kind of like if you relate that in your life, it's kind of along the same lines. You know, you make a choice, you do it, it's the wrong choice, and it just goes all over the place. And does it not take a long time to clean up that mess? You know, it's difficult to deal with sin once you have done it. You know, and the path to forgiveness, you know, it's not something, boom, said and done, you're good. You know, there's things that, like this would reach out to the individuals in the front row. It would make a mess on them, so I would have to clean that up. You know, just like in our lives, when we allow sin in, it has an effect on everyone that's around us. It touches so many people in so many places. And usually when you know, this is something that I wanted to put in here, it's because I was just thinking to myself and, you know, see how it felt, see what it did. And, you know, how in a moment's notice, I don't even think what it would do to everybody around me. And that was just my little brief example of that. So, you know, I just wanted everybody to kind of see and get an idea of that. So with that, let's get back on track here. In Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to read verses, I got 22 through 25. Oh, yeah, okay. So I'm going to read verses 22 and 23 real quick here. So it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." You know, let us go into the waters of baptism. Have all of our sins washed away. Let's have a clean slate in our lives. Let's take the appropriate action for us to be able to get on the right path. And then once we're there, verse 23, "Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And real quick, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to jump to James chapter 1, 6 and 8. Verses 6 and 8. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And that's, I wanted us to be able to understand that when we set that goal before us, you know, don't be double-minded. Don't think twice. You know, what the Lord has for you is good. His plan of salvation is good. Once you enter into that, he is going to take care of you. It's a good thing. Don't be double-minded about it. Don't get pulled in different directions from what other people tell you and you have a misunderstanding of the gospel. You don't know what you're talking about. How can you be like that? You know, nobody is like that in our family. You know, it's something between you and God. And that's where that line of communication opens up, to where you have that distinct understanding of what it is he requires of you. And not just requires, but desires of you. He desires for you to do this. So let us go back now. I'm going to go back to Hebrews, and I'm going to read verses 24 and 25. And it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." This is what the Lord wants us to do. This is what he desires of us. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Just like the 10 virgins, you know, be prepared. The day is approaching. You know, I don't know if it'll happen in my time, but I still want to prepare. I want to be ready. And you know, it doesn't take anything away from who you are. You're prepared. You're prepared for the battle when you walk out these doors. You're prepared to be that light for Christ and to have that love. You know, and there's so many things that you do in preparation for that. You know, just like the fruits of the Spirit, I put a few things down here. You know, in my marriage, I try to never be selfish nor self-seeking. I try to be nourishing. I try to be supportive. I'm a protector of my family. I'm there to comfort them. I'm always trying to be kind. Yeah, that sometimes is difficult for me. You know, it's the natural man. Sometimes it's hard to be kind, especially when you're getting frustrated. But you got to be thoughtful, and you have to listen, and you have to have understanding. These are some of the things that help us be able to prepare how we need to be for this life that we live in, for when we go and we approach the Lord, when we lie down in our day of rest here in the mortal body, that these are the things that he sees within us. These are the things that are brought to light. You know, not those things that bind us in darkness, not all those things that are sins and destroy and blow up relationships and make a mess. You know, we're all one body. We all need to encourage other to have these attributes. That's what I was looking for, these attributes. It's very important. It's very important. With that, I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." I am so thankful that I'm capable of coming here and being able to share, you know, some experiences in my life to make you laugh. You know, I know that I take my ministry very seriously, but just to make, you know, somebody smile, to make them laugh, that's my personality. That's my character. That's one of the attributes that the Lord has given me, and I use that as a tool, as an instrument, to be able to help each and every one of you understand that it takes a mixed bag of people for this body, just like the hand, just like the foot, my eyes, my ears. There's all different parts of my body, and that's what it takes. There's all different kinds of individuals within this room live streaming, and it's important that we understand that the Lord gives us gifts to be able to communicate in our own certain way, to be able to analyze things, to be able to vocalize things. Those are the gifts that the Lord gives us, and we need to make sure that we're using those things and giving the thanks to the Lord for him being able to help us grow stronger and to be able to help us carry on in this day in which we live. So it says here, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I'm going to go to the book of Moroni, chapter 7, verses 51 through 53. I didn't write down the page number, so let's go to 7, 51 through 53. I will give that to you. That's on page 768. Okay, yeah. Page 768 in the book of Moroni, chapter 7, 51 through 53. And it says, and charity suffereth long. This is the pure love of Christ. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, we're almost done here. If ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. It never fails. That pure love of Christ never fails. It's been there since the beginning. It'll be there to the end, and it'll be there after the end. Because we know with God, he never changes. He's always the same. So believe in that. Have that in you. Understand that. Read about it. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. You know, if somebody of authority was to tell me this, I would really let that sink in, because this is sounding like something and someone of authority is telling me that it shall be well with them. So think upon that. Understand that, you know, have that. If you don't understand it, open up that communication with the Lord to gain understanding. That is a very important thing, to have that charity. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God. You know, and that's where we need to have that understanding, when we're following after that, when we're seeing, you know, the goal, the light at the end of the tunnel on what we should do, the path that we should take. You know, that's where this strengthens us, because being a true follower is what we need to strive to be. That's what Christ requires of us. That when he shall appear, we shall be like him, because we know that Christ was perfect. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. And, you know, that's our challenge in life. That's the overall picture. That's the goal. You know, the plan of salvation is laid out. You know, we have to take it in. We have to understand it. And we have to have that relationship with God and with Christ, so we can understand the path that we need to take. Just like in my marriage, I have to put it on the table. I have to put it out there so I can receive feedback from my wife on exactly, you know, how things are going. We have to have that communication, those lines of communication open. You know, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to share. I'm truly blessed once again to not only, you know, have Alicia as my wife, but, you know, there's things in the church that the Lord has truly blessed me with being able to marry Lindsay and Tony. You know, I carry the picture here in my Bible, because that was really something that I was blessed with. I was blessed with being able to do that. And this is my reminder, you know. And, you know, maybe each and every one of us need a reminder. You know, my brother Dwayne, he goes out in the world, and Brian, and they do things. You know, and this little thing right here is a reminder of the Lord's work and how it spreads throughout all the nations and the work that they do for the Lord. And how wonderful that is to be able to know that, you know, we're a part of that. You know, you each and every one of you probably have a little reminder in your life of someone that you love and that you think about when you see it or you touch it. And it's important that we have those things that help us carry us through. You know, something little and simple like this, you know, at times when it's difficult, you know, it helps remind us of what we need to do. And if there's any point I wanted to make today is, you know, what we need to do is to have an open line of communication with God and ask Him for that direction and that wisdom in your life so He can give it to you. You have to be able to knock on His door, and He will answer it. So I thank you for your time, and may God bless each and every one of you and those that are live streaming. God bless. Thank you.